Welcome to CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker, encouraging others to share their God stories to inspire others in their walk of faith. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Hi, I want to thank you so much for joining us today at My Journey of Faith. I'm Cynthia McCutcheon, and last week I shared a little statement that was said, quote, by Mary DeMuth, and it said that Satan not only wants to destroy us, he wants to destory us. And that is so true, and there's so many women out there that think that Satan has already destroyed them on the path to destroying us. But that's not how it has to be. We get to choose how we take those things that go in our life. And today I have with me Doris Cush. She lives in Pennsylvania. She's the associate pastor's wife of 16 years. She has worn many hats throughout her journey with him.
Oh, yeah.
but it has been glorious. She is the mother of a high school freshman, and she is the first-time author of a book called Pieces, Choosing Peace in the Rebuilding of Our Lives. On her blog, she has the tagline that says, Honest Survivors Embracing a Savior Honestly. Hi, Doris. How are you?
Hi, Cynthia. Doing very, very well.
Good. Well, tell us a little bit about your tagline, because that is so intriguing to me.
Well, it took a long time to finally develop that. If I could possibly even shout out to Amy Carroll for really working hard to help me with it. I've developed that because so often we find ourselves feeling like we are women on an island to ourselves, you know, kind of island girls, thinking, God, no one understands where we've been. No one can really truly understand why life has dealt us the hand we've been dealt. And unfortunately, we tend to believe that lie. And God is truly saying, I love you. I want you to know you are not alone. I need you to understand that there is truth in embracing my love, my purpose, my direction. And I've gone through my island experience, and so I found that I don't have to stay on that island stuck, and I'm not alone. So the best way to get off of it is to be honest about, first of all, being there, and second of all, trusting God to help me get off of it, help me to share my story, the quote you mentioned about Mary DeMuth, but allowing that story to resonate in the hearts of others. So if there are honest survivors, my hand is extended, that lifeboat is ready to say, come on aboard and trust God through every step of the way. So on my blog, I'm very real, very personal, very passionate about the tough stories that I've gone through that others will allow me to share, and you know, I'm letting them know that we're in it together. So, you know, honest survivor, and I can honestly say that they will survive as well.
Wow, that is wonderful. Well, share with us a little bit about your journey, the journey of faith that has brought you to this point where you can become an encourager.
Oh, well, let's see. I've always been an encourager by nature. It's been my habit to be a covert person instead of overt. People look at me and think, oh, wow, you're so social, and I'm truly not. I love looking at the details. I love assisting in whatever way I possibly can. If it means a smile, that's an encouragement. If it means giving a note, that's an encouragement. Whatever it takes to encourage someone along the way. That is an encouragement. So when I didn't have it, I had to realize that, okay, who's going to encourage those out there who need it? Well, God gave it to me. I might as well use it. So I've been that way for quite some time, and even when I've felt discouraged, the best medicine for discouragement is to encourage. I kind of laugh about it because I remember, you're after college and you're living your life the way you should live it, I guess, and I used to, just sing, strange songs, and I remember singing Home on the Range. Now, you'd think, well, that's rather cute, but if you hear a line in that song, it says, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and I had to stop, because if seldom is heard a discouraging word, then what's heard more often? An encouraging word. And so, you laugh about it, but at the same time, it's so true. If you want to hear more often an encouraging word and you seldom want to hear a discouraging word, then you want to actually apply what you want to hear. So I look for those moments where I can actually encourage. When I'm feeling discouraged, I'm looking for those moments to encourage, and it until encourages me.
So that is wonderful.
That's kind of where the Lord has taken me. And each step of the way has caused a short footing of being more and more of an encouragement to others. Not because, oh, wow, it fills my head, but it fills the heart of women who feel so deflated, feel as if I'm just not going to feel any differently about my life, because what's the point? And God is saying there is a point. There is a point. Breathing, it's a point. And they just need to know that. So I get the opportunity to do that, I'm all on it.
And now, when we were talking yesterday about you coming on this show, you made something that kind of stuck with me, and I wrote it down real quick, and let's just talk about this. You said a lot of times people say to you that you don't understand, but you turn around and say to them, no, you don't understand. I know what my what ifs are.
Right.
What does that mean? Tell us a little bit about that statement.
There is an old hymn that says, had it not been for the Lord, where would I be? And I can attest to the fact that when someone comes at me, I hate to say it, when you're around negative people and they're saying, well, you just don't understand. I've gone through this and I've been through that. And, oh, my name's been drugged in the mud. And I am not, by any stretch of imagination, negating their feelings, their heartfelt concerns, because those are real. But at the same time, I more than understand. Been there, done that, been down that road. But I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, I can honestly answer the question. I know where my life would be without God.
Mm.
I can paint the picture of what my life would look like without God. It's simple. Without God, my life would be completely opposite of what it is now. I would, if I'm walking, living, breathing, doing God's will, without God, I would be out of His will. If I am if I am thinking that, okay, everything's great, grand, and glorious, and Jesus is helping me through it, without God, nothing would go right.
Mm.
because I don't have him. That's the point. You know, a lot of us assume that when life gets hard and times are tough, that God isn't with us. And that's not true. I mean, he is with us. He says, I am with you always. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Those that know, they know that to be true. But those that don't know him, that's the heart-crushing part. Those that don't know him can't boast that claim, because they can walk around life, and that the news that you read today is so heart-wrenching. People would just as soon pick up a gun to answer a simple question. And it's painful that it doesn't take much but a sweet answer when you know God, instead of a harsh, retaliatory response when you don't know him. And that's the big difference. I know where I would be. I know where I would be without him. And I'm very thankful.
Do you encourage others to look back and try to find out what their what-ifs were?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, people get stuck on the what-ifs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what if this? What if that? What if this? What if that? I have asked them. I don't have a problem being open about my life, because this is just my life. I have asked the question, God, you know, why infertility? God, why the pieces that have transpired in my early life with molestation and, you know, sexual abuse, and, you know, I went through domestic violence. Our family went through a whole lot. And I could ask, why, God? You know, what if our lives were different? What if this would have happened? Well, it didn't. But going through it has caused God to use me for his good purpose, his good purpose. So when I am out there, I can now comfort those with the same comfort Christ has comforted me. And that's scriptural. So
exactly.
I get a chance, again, to encourage those who need encouragement in that area.
So you have... It goes right along with what you just said about the pieces of your life. You wrote a book called Pieces,
mm-hmm.
and you tell us a little bit about that, how it came about, why you wrote this particular book.
Oh, well, I've always said, there is a book inside of me. I know it, God, but when and, you know, how do you want me to get this out of me? And, you know, but I also know when to wait, and I also know when to listen. And God was working out of me what we call false expectations appearing real, the big word, fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, every time I would start something, it's like a commuter flight. I'd get up, I'm on the clouds for just a smidge, and I'm right back down again. And it's just so like us. We're excited, but we run into fear, and then it just sets us down on the ground. And I'm thinking, God, I know that you have birthed this in me, and I'm going to trust that when it's time, the conception will lead to the delivery. And it was last year, I was at a women's retreat, and a dear, sweet sister of mine that I met a few years ago, as she speaks, and my you know, my best friends, so Shelley and Pam and I were in a little group, and we're talking, and they're both just encouraging me, saying, Doris, you really need to trust God on this. You really need to do this. And then they kicked up encouragement a notch by saying, we have this goal and this goal. This is reachable. You can do this. and we're going to kick your butt until you get it done.
What are friends for?
I love friends. And so I took my family through the ringer and wrote this small vignette in about 30 days because I had a deadline to meet. My friend Pam went through, was a phenomenal photographer, said, I have this, you know, this little bit of a sale here that's going on through her photo book publishing company. Nothing fancy schmancy, but she said, Doris, this is the first step. I took it, and she knows I'm great on deadlines, and set my little derriere in the chair and did it. And it was something that took unlocking that key, unlocking that door. And the key was, Doris, look at this as you writing a long blog. What? And that's what unlocked it all, because I was, fear had overwhelmed me to the point of thinking, oh my gosh, I have to have 100,000 words done, and I can't do that. And the enemy was really wearing me down. And God said, it's small chunks. It's like eating an elephant, one small bite at a time. Mm-hmm. And when she said, Doris, it's nothing more than you writing your blog post, that's it. And it just opened my heart to write, you know, a part of my life, and hopefully to encourage other women to take the fragments, the shards of, you know, part of their past and say, God is there for them. And I'm really real and raw in the pages, just sharing the fact that even though this has happened, this is a lesson I've learned from it. And I love to come alongside of you as what God wanted to call as a traveling companion and trust that he will take you through it. So that's how it got birthed, and I've been excited about it ever since.
Well, tell our listeners a little bit about the title.
Oh, well, it's a play on words, actually. Pieces.
Me speaking it doesn't really come out that it's a play on words, but let's explain that.
Pieces, yeah. It's P-I-E-C-E-S. So pieces, the shards, fragments, the little pieces that when you look at a window, someone has taken something and thrown it at that beautiful window, and what has happened? It is shattered. Mm. It's the same that holds true when here we are born into this world with an opportunity to grow and mature into wonderful women of God if we choose to accept our Lord as Savior and focal point of our lives. But a detour takes place. Someone shatters, because of their sinfulness, our life, and we are left with the pieces. And I wanted to convey what part of the pieces that had happened and transpired in my life, and to tell them that they could choose peace, P-E-A-C-E, in allowing God to rebuild and reshape and reform. Those pieces represent a beautiful mosaic when placed in our Savior's hands. You know, when you look at, you hear, you know, analogies like you look at a tapestry, it looks really shabby on the other side of it, but it's gorgeous on the displayed end. That's all exciting. But when it's your life, when you can feel weighted down by, my goodness, if you knew that I was hurt and abused, if you knew what I had gone through for so many years, if you knew how I've yearned to have children and it didn't happen. Those are cries of so many women, sisters, daughters, mothers' hearts. But God says He wants to rebuild and restore and rejuvenate those pieces, to infuse life into those pieces. And again, the best way to combat discouragement is encouragement, to pour into us the courage to move out from the morass and to move into His presence, into His glorious, glorious light. And I get excited about that. I know, like I said, I can go right back to, I know where my life could have gone. But I choose to move, pressing on, moving toward Him. And I just want to encourage other women to do the same.
That's wonderful. As you've done your study on the pieces and all of that, has there been a Bible story that just really resonates with you?
Well, it isn't so much. The guy did not have a name, other than he was called the servant. And I just, believe it or not, I like the phrase servant. I think it's such a cool phrase, but that's for another day. But if you go to 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, I always get Elisha and Elijah always mixed up, especially when I get excited and I'm talking about the two.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh, the other one. No, yeah, that one. And, you know, Elisha, I'll kind of give you like a quick overview. Elisha, the SHA guy, he...
Yeah.
Went for the double portion. So it was, he knew what he was getting, and he knew that God's hand was all in it. So the fact that he was going out there, he was listening for God, I will call him the go-to guy. But he had a servant that, you know, who must have loved him dearly, because the guy got up early, he did his stuff. But there was something key, one word, two letters that just stuck out for me. You know, when, you know, here it is, Elisha is kind of telling the secrets about the king's business, and, you know, they're thinking, all right, how is he knowing what's going on and telling, you know, the king of you know, Israel what our plans are? This is not cool. So, you know, the other king decided, we're sending out an army, and we're gonna send out chariots, we're gonna send out horses, and we're going after Elisha. And then the servant got up that morning, and he's like, "Oh no, we're surrounded." Obviously, that was his thought. That's my point. But the first thing he said was, "Oh my Lord, what shall we do?" Now, the word "we," I was so stuck on that. I'm thinking, "We." You know, he didn't, I mean, obviously he panicked, which is obviously our first response. We do panic. But because he was so close in serving a man of God, he didn't say, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't know what to do. He actually looked at his master for assistance. You know, what are we going to do? And that's the point. It's like we need to start looking at the fact that we're not alone and that God is with us. You know, and so Elisha, doing what he's known to do, because he has it in with God, you know, hey, you know, don't get scared. It's okay. It's good. Let me pray that God opens your eyes. And now he finds out we have a bigger deal than the other guys. That just blows my mind. But it blows my mind more that we, that word we, just encapsulates the whole story. we aren't alone. And that's what drives me. The encouragement says, I want you to know that we aren't alone. God goes with us. God will always be with us. There is no doubt that he is there 24/7. So, yeah, that's kind of my, you know, that's my go-to word when I am a little confused, a little scared. Now I want to be able to say in my scaredness, what shall we do? Not, what am I going to do?
Yeah, I love that you brought that out. I've read that story, and I have never focused on the we.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I love that because you're so correct. We just look at things and say, oh, no, what am I going to do?
It's so us.
Yeah,
it's
human.
We're so good at the human thing. That's the point.
Exactly. Well, Doris, I want to thank you so much for being on this show with me today. I have loved hearing your story and how you encourage others. And just talking with you has been an encouragement to me, and I know it has been with the listeners. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. I so appreciate it, Cynthia.
Thank you. And for those of you that are listening, I want to thank you for joining us on My Journey of Faith Radio. And Doris mentioned about the tapestry of our lives and picking up the pieces and stuff. So I want to leave you today with a poem. As she read it, I was like, oh, this is perfect. It's one of my favorites. I do not know who wrote it. I think I might have heard it. May have been Corrie Ten Boom. But it's The Weaver. And it goes like this. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors he weaveth steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reasons why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. So I pray today that you will look at the pieces of your life, go back in your mind, rediscover the what if. What if God had not been by my side? What if things would have been differently if I had not known him? And I just encourage you to share your story. Be that honest survivor, embracing a Savior honestly. And until next week, I pray that you have a wonderful week. And seek him, reflect him, share your story. Thank you so much for joining us. Goodbye.